online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, again for joining us today on the broadcast. We're talking about what I think to be a very, very serious theological, doctrinal, biblical subject, and that is, what makes a person a real Christian? We've been talking about what some have said and what some denominations believe and what some religious people tend to believe in relationship to how you get saved, what causes salvation in the Roman Catholic Church. And I bring that up because it's on the hearts and the minds of multitudes, not only in America but around the world, and the death of the Pope. We need to mourn for the loss of anyone, but at the same time, we need to speak truth in love and realize that there are multitudes today that's in darkness, believing that somehow, some way, being right with Mary, being right with the Roman Catholic Church, going through the sacraments of marriage and of baptism, of confirmation, of Eucharist and penance and anointing the sick, et cetera, somehow that'll make a person saved. The problem, and I've got with us today, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, and as I speak to them on behalf of our listeners today, the problem, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, that I see is that so many in darkness believing that that is salvation. And let me just read a headline, and then, Dr. Phelps, get you to respond. Pope Francis claims that all religions are simply a path to God. I'll read a few lines of this. During the three-day visit to Singapore, Pope Francis declared that all religions are a path to God. Departing from his prepared remarks, Francis spoke off the cuff, stating that different religions, like different languages, all reach God. If you start a fight, my religion is more important than yours. Mine is true and yours isn't. Where will this lead us, he said. There's only one God, and each of us has a language to arrive at God. Some are Sikhs, some Muslims, some Hindu, some Christians, some Islam, etc., etc., and they are all different paths to God. So, Dr. Phipps, are the different paths to God?
We believe the Bible specifically tells us that there is only one way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So let me make this comment, and then I'd like to follow up on that, if I may. There are, in our world today, there are religious Christians. Mm-hmm. But there are also a group that are real Christians. Mm-hmm. And the real Christians are what I call believing Christians.
Yes, yes.
The world is filled with a lot of those who say they are Christians. They identify themselves with Christians and with the Christian church. But there are only a very few in that number, I believe, who really trust God for salvation. I'd like to follow up with what I was saying a few minutes ago. most religions do not deal with the sin problem.
Mm-hmm.
But real Christianity deals with the sin problem. Because of the sin problem, we're all alienated from God outside of Christ, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to say this, that the Bible tells us that God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to reconcile us to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, our Redeemer, came to deliver us from the penalty of sin, from the punishment of sin, from the power of sin. And when he suffered for our sins on the cross, he shed his precious blood for us. And in doing so, he reconciled us to God. Both the book of Ephesians and Colossians teach us plainly that that's the work of Christ, and that's one of the great benefits of the cross of Christ. Many have perverted the idea of the cross and the sufferings of Christ. Paul says, I'm glorying in the cross. And we believe that the forgiveness of our sins was made possible only by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary. Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so believing Christians have something that's better than religion.
Mm-hmm.
And we can know that we have a relationship with God through his Son. Our relationship with God does not involve rituals or religion. A right relationship with God is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our personal relationship with God is not by our good works or being good or keeping the law or observing church rituals. Instead, it's only by the grace of God. Ephesians tells us in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So a personal relationship with God is not because we're brought up in a good home, not because of being a citizen in our country, not by belonging to a church. Instead, it's only by our personal choice to believe on the Son of God. Then we have discovered something that is better than religion.
Absolutely. It's a relationship.
Yes, sir.
So, Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, either one, if we have those in different religions, even in different denominations, that will say things, preach and teach things contrary to what you just said, it would be considered a different gospel, another gospel. Dr. Davis, what does it say when the Apostle Paul was dealing with the church at Galatia, when he said that he, I'm going to paraphrase, then let you respond. When Paul said, I'm amazed that you can so soon after you've been saved go to another gospel. What is he talking about?
Well, when you consider, you know, up the previous, what he said in the top part of that verse and, mm-hmm. and then coming down, he said, who hath bewitched you?
Yes.
I'm mighty afraid that we have fallen under the bewitching.
That's right.
Of especially this past administration
mm-hmm.
That just left the White House, promoting all these things that were contrary to Christian doctrine and anything that had to do in connection with Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel.
Yes.
Now, even in today's world, what we are living in, we're living in a time of gospel deconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to tear apart the very core tenets of the gospel that will lead a person to salvation. And it's a trick of the enemy. I'm talking about the devil, because he's a master deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
And if people allow the devil to come in and bring in any falsehood concerning Christ Jesus, your situation will end up being just like the book of Romans says. You will keep degenerating to a new low, until at the very end, God will give you over to that reprobate mind.
That's right.
And then there's going to be no hope for you. Now, here's another thing I wanted to say about that Pope. I'm saddened by the fact that he allowed people to worship him instead of worshiping God.
That's right. Amen.
I'm saddened that it's possible that he could have died in his sins and not accepted Christ Jesus as his Lord and Savior.
That's right.
And I'm saddened by the fact that Catholicism promotes the idea and the thought that the Pope is the only true representative of Christ Jesus on the earth.
That's what's being pushed today.
That's a big falsehood. Mm-hmm. You have to do works, according to them, in order to reach sainthood. Mm-hmm. But I got news for you. According to God's word, just one verse, a couple of verses here, coming from the scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is what it says. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many other books in the Bible where Paul represents those who have accepted Christ Jesus and are now believers in Christ. And when I say believers, we're talking about those who have set aside the old life and are now living the new life in Christ Jesus, being born again.
Yes.
So now they are called saints, not by any works that they have done, but by grace.
Yes.
Ephesians, the book of Ephesians say, you are saved, and that through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not a work, so that no man can boast. Mm-hmm. So this is where we're going today. We're trying to drive a nail in all the core tenets of Christianity, the most important thing that you must realize about Christianity, so that when you hear these false teachings, and again, I take the thing that he had to say about Christianity, about Christ not being divine, that's just his perspective. Mm-hmm. That's just a comment. As far as I'm concerned, it's not the truth.
That's a comment from a lost mind, a lost heart.
Amen.
A saved person cannot make that statement.
Amen.
Because we know that Jesus Christ is God, Emmanuel, God with us. And so to deny the deity of Christ is to deny the word of God.
Amen.
And that's
what
I see that's so dangerous in relationship to that. In fact, talking about being saved and what Paul said, I recall in the, I believe it's the third chapter of Philippians, where the Apostle Paul talks about what he has surrendered that he might know Christ. He said, the very things that I counted for gain, I have counted as loss, yea, all things lost, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Speaking of his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And then remember, he also testified about his past life.
Yes.
He said, I was injurious. Mm-hmm. He was hailing Christians or dragging them.
That's right.
To the chopping block, I can just use it like that.
Yes.
But guess what? He was religious. He thought that what he was doing was a service to God, because he called the real believing Christians, he called them perverts, and he called them blasphemers, and he dragged them off to the chopping block thinking that he was doing right because he was a Pharisee. Mm-hmm.
He was religious but lost.
So this is the same scenario that we're facing in the world today. And many Christians, it's sad to say, are going to church every Sunday, but they fall into that category.
Yes.
And Dr. Youngblood, it saddens my heart, because I see people like that, I meet people like that almost every day. And I try to convince them through scripture that you're on the wrong track. Mm-hmm. I just told a gentleman this the other day, and he started talking about the difference between what we were speaking about in Christ and about what he believed in his life. And I told him, I said, listen, all hope is not lost for you or even your son, because he was in a certain situation in his life right now where he made a bad decision down the road, and it's now become to where he's come down with a health issue that shouldn't have been because he made a bad decision. But I said, I told them all is not lost because the Apostle Paul did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yep. He made a bad decision, but until when he met Christ Jesus, he turned around and he said, I count that but dung.
Dung.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I refuse mm-hmm. to keep going on in the same way so that I may win Christ.
That's right.
So this is what I got to say to you on today, the very same thing.
Yep.
Refuse the thing that you know is wrong and continue to pray that God, and I'm praying for you too, that God will open your eyes to the truth so that you could come to the knowledge of the truth and begin to live for Christ and hopefully be able to recover yourself out of the snare of the devil.
Absolutely. And so, Dr. Phelps, a question as a follow-up to that. If Pope Francis was right, that the only way for salvation is through Mary and the, quote, Mother Church, then that refutes where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, first of all, I want to just say, if that is true, then that means that Jesus died in vain.
In vain.
On
right.
the
Amen.
Cross of
Amen.
Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But that is not so. The truth is, Christ died for sinners like me. Christ came to save us from our sins. And we believe that when Jesus came into the world, that he was fulfilling the great plan of God. God had in mind the cross of Calvary, and that Jesus would lay down his life for us. That's all part of the great plan of God. We believe that the Lord has told us in his word that he has a great plan, and he's been carrying that out. According to the Revelation 21, verse 5, God says, I make all things new. And we, in order for us to fit into that plan, and we'd better,
that's right,
then there's going to be a new heaven, there's going to be a new earth, there's going to be a new Jerusalem, but it's all made for new creations in Christ.
Amen.
Right. That's right.
And so I want to be among those who are called new creations.
Absolutely.
The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. And so God has in mind for us to be a part of his plan in the future and in eternity. That's why we must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And being born again places us in Christ, not in a church.
That's right.
That places us in Christ. And that's where I want to be.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps, you read that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it's very clear. Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
anyone,
that is the universalism of salvation. Anybody can get saved. Anybody can say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Doesn't have to be Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, etc., etc., etc. Salvation is universal. And secondly, salvation is unique. Be in Christ, not in the church, not in the denomination. Now listen, as we say that, we need to clarify some things. If a person is truly saved, a real Christian, he wants to be in church.
Amen.
Worshiping, celebrating.
Oh, yes.
The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Going through what the Scripture says, we might be brought closer to him through the Scripture. But if salvation is universal, and it is, if salvation is unique, and it is, because it's not talking about just any religion, it's talking about being in Christ.
Amen.
What does it mean to be in Christ, Dr. Phelps?
When a person is truly saved by believing the gospel,
mm-hmm.
Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16. So when we're saved, born again, by believing the gospel, then God places us in Christ. There are two places you can be. You're in Adam. That's where I was before I was saved.
That's right.
And in Christ. And those are the two groups of people on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Some are still in Adam. They're lost. Mm-hmm. They're in unbelief, unrepentance. They're unsaved. They will continue to be in that lost estate unless there's true repentance. Repentance is turning to God from unbelief or ungodly ways or, excuse me, or turning to God by believing the gospel from sin to Christ. And when we come to know Christ as our Savior, then we become part of the family of God. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received Christ, God makes or gives us the right to become a part of the family of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And one so other, one me. Other question, kind of a follow-up question on that, in that 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it's very, very clear, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, the Scripture says in that text, a new creature. What does that mean? Old man, the old boy, the old girl, the old woman, i.e. old in the old sin nature, is changed, but is a new creature. And you touched on earlier, speaking about the Revelation text, that it's a new heaven, a new earth, a new, et cetera, a new person. What does it mean to be a new creature if we've said yes to Jesus Christ?
We become a new person because we become like-minded with God. Mm-hmm. We become like-minded with Him concerning right and wrong. We become like-minded with God concerning His will for our lives. We become a new person, and that person that we become then is being transformed day after day, more and more, and we become more like God's Son. God has a plan for us to be conformed to the image of His Son spiritually. But one day we shall also become like Him in a glorified body, in a resurrection body.
Absolutely.
And God has told us in His Word that He is pleased with His Son.
Absolutely.
And He wants a heaven full of them just like Jesus.
Amen. So let me make a transition here. Going back to the 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Behold, all things have become new. So, Dr. Davis, let me set the stage. Pope Francis said that if you are homosexual, don't worry about it. That's not sin. God created you that way. Pope Francis fully embraced the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Now, if the Bible is true, that when we're saved, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, can a saved person continue to embrace the sodomite lifestyle, the homosexual lifestyle, and what would be called sin in the Word of God? Talk to us about that.
That's scripturally impossible.
That's right.
As well as spiritually.
That's right.
Because what we have to understand, God has a zero tolerance for sin.
Mm-hmm.
No sin is going into heaven.
That's right.
So you, and that's the purpose of the rebirth, mm-hmm. for us to be born again.
Amen.
Jesus even told Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto you that ye must be born again. Mm-hmm. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So born of the flesh means according to the natural course of this world.
Mm-hmm.
But born of the Spirit is supernatural. So this is how we have to become in Christ Jesus. We have to be born in the supernatural.
That's right.
In order to overcome the things in this world. Now, let's consider this. Baptism, water baptism, is symbolic of a person going down in the grave with Jesus Christ and being raised again to new life.
That's right.
You left the old things behind, the old way of thinking, the old way of living,
amen.
The old way of doing. You left that down in the grave because those are dead works. You cannot continue on in dead works to serve a living Savior.
Right.
So this is the reason why we have to come to the knowledge of that and understand there's no way that we can connect those two together and say that we are Christians. The word Christian means follower of Christ. You're supposed to be following Him in everything He did. The way that He lived, the way that He loved, the way that He served, the way that He did, the way that He treated people.
Absolutely.
All these different things must become brand new. And let me tell you, It's impossible for you to meet Jesus Christ and walk away unchanged.
That's right.
Absolutely. I can tell you this after 39 years in Christ and in the ministry. I'm not the same person I was 39 years ago.
Amen.
So I'm a living witness of that today.
Amen. So the question then boils down for either of you, Dr. Davis or Dr. Phelps, today. It boils down to this. If we see those that are saying that you can be right with God through praying to Mary, you can be right with God by going through the sacraments, you can be right with God by simply being in the Roman Catholic religion, and there's a mindset somehow with about 1.5 billion people in the world today that they believe that. So if that's the case, is it possible? What will it take? What does that person that's hearing today, that's in that being bewitched state, as you mentioned, Dr. Davis, what is the need today more than anything else? In the last couple of minutes on the broadcast, what's the greatest need for our listeners to hear, do, and respond to today?
Well, the first thing you need to do is confess your sins and repent. Amen. And forsake that old way.
Amen.
And come to the knowledge of the truth. In the book of Ezekiel, God said he doesn't take any pleasure in the death of a sinner. Mm-hmm. He would rather for them to come to the knowledge of repentance and be saved than to die in their sins. And likewise, he doesn't want the righteous man to die in his sins. Mm-hmm. He doesn't take any pleasure in either one.
Right.
But if he does, his blood is going to be required at his hand. Absolutely. See, God, he's not playing with sin.
That's right. God cannot look at sin. That's the reason when Jesus was on the cross, he became sin for us. And in that nanosecond, he said, my God, why has thou forsaken me?
Amen.
Because God cannot look upon sin. Final thought, Dr. Phelps, when we look at that, many will say, according to the scripture in Matthew chapter 5, 7, verse 20 and following, many in that day will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not done great works, humanitarian things, etc., etc.? And Jesus says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Explain that briefly for us.
One of the great truths of the scriptures is that we need to come to God in repentance, mm-hmm, and faith and trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believes on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Therefore, we must come to God in repentance.
Yes.
When we say repentance, we were talking about, we mean that we turn to God from religion to believe on God's Son.
Absolutely. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WB.